All right, we're saving thousands. I'm Robert Palmer. Another great day here. I've got a very special guest. You know, it's interesting here. Most people think of him as a sports star, and I got to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of baseball, so I didn't follow him all that much as a sports star. But what I see him as is a business guy, and more importantly, a guy who was really smart with his money and who made really smart decisions as he came up and as he got into his career about how to plan for the future. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, saving thousands here on the show is all about how do we make right decisions? How do we not fall trap, you know, to the tricks of credit and debt, and how do we plan for our future? So with that, I want to welcome Alex Rodriguez to the show. Alex, A-Rod, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Good. Thank you. Good to be here.
So, you know, we've done a cool little tour, you know, last week we went out to my high school, which was cool, you know, for Alex to be able to talk to my high school, George Jenkins, and kind of give them some tips. And again, today we're going to focus on the money side of it. And, you know, Alex, talking to you, you know, here you are, you're at the very beginning of your baseball career. You signed these massive contracts, you know, financial problems probably had to be the furthest thing from your mind, but you were smart enough to plan ahead and start making decisions right then. Where did that come from? What drove you to make those smart decisions when so many athletes fail to?
Yeah, well, thank you. First of all, I mean, I never in my wildest dreams did I think I would play for 23 years at the major league level. So I don't think you can ever plan for that. That was certainly a pleasant surprise for me. You know, growing up in Miami from a single mother, watching her have two jobs and, you know, always renting, always being a tenant, always realizing that we had to move every summer because the landlord kept raising rents. You know, it made a big impression on me. And I always said as a kid, boy, if I can ever trade, you know, shoes with the landlord, I'd rather be the landlord than the tenant. So the first opportunity I had a chance to do that, I took that chance. I was around 22, 23 years old. And I started my company out of fear. I just didn't want to be another athlete that went from rags to riches to rags. So I started, you know, investing early.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, you know, as we've gotten to know each other the last, you know, couple of days here, come from similar backgrounds. You know, I was raised by a single mom, and that really shaped my life as well. You know, I shared a story with Alex about, you know, when I was younger, I remember helping my mom count change to pay a credit card bill, and that seeing that interest going out the wrong way made me want to figure out how to get on the other side of that to where, you know, you're making the money instead of spending the money. And then two, to help put me on this show to drive people to make better financial decisions, to protect the average person from falling into that credit card debt. And that's a path you're going down now. You've got a new show coming out where you're going to help other athletes avoid the pitfalls and avoid some of those mistakes. And, you know, some of the statistics you shared with me are staggering about how many athletes do go from, you know, rags to riches, back to rags. What's your approach there, and what drove you to give back and want to help the other athletes?
Yeah, it's something that my friend Michael Strahan and I, you know, he's now one of the co-hosts in Good Morning America, obviously legendary Hall of Fame player for the New York Giants and a world champion. Michael and I spent a lot of time playing in New York, him for the Giants, me for the Yankees. And we're at an age now in our 40s that a lot of players that participated in the game are now have run into some stressful times. And of course, he receives a call, as do I. And we finally have heard so many people talk about the issue and the problems of athletes getting into some financial problems that we finally decided to stop talking about it and do something about it. So we have this show on CNBC that we both co-executive produce called Back in the Game. Our first you know, prospect is Joe Smith, who in 1995 was the first pick overall from the University of Maryland. Played about 16 years, played for about 12 teams and made north of $60 million. And today, you know, it has nothing. And we go in, when we say me, I say, well, I go in a little bit like Marcus Lemonis in The Prophet. And we try to basically build a system and a team around him to teach him how to fish. We don't give him fish. And, you know, so far, so good. We've had a really great time. And it's a really a real opportunity to not only educate the fan base, but also athletes out there to start thinking proactive instead of reactive.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess what are the biggest tips? I mean, so let's just give you a little context here on the Saving Thousands Radio Network. We have what we call our financial ninja rules. So these are a group of rules that the listeners and I try to follow. And a couple examples, you know, we have rule number one, which is always shop around. You know, if you think about that, how many financial pitfalls you can avoid by shopping around. Rule number three is always wait 3 days before making a large financial decision. So if you're on that car dealership, don't buy the car right then. Go home and sleep on it for 3 days and then come back. We've got rules about watching out for and knowing tricks and really trying to keep people focused. And I feel like if we give people a framework, it makes it easier to follow. Do you guys have a similar system you're going to try to use, or a similar framework you're going to give to these athletes? Is that how you see this happening?
Yeah, I mean, athletes is such a different set of metrics, right? Because if you think about athletes, NFL and Major League Baseball, let's take Major League Baseball, for example. The career average, 5.5 years. You make 90% of your income from age 20 to 30. So then it begs the question, what happens from 30 to 80? And then less than 5% of our Major League Baseball players, in which there's 750 of them now, have a college degree, less than 5%. So I'm not a stockbroker, but if you just take those numbers alone, you were short that stock. And I would assume that most players will run into some financial problems. It is a formula to fail with no formal education. So one of the things that I think is incredibly important is to build a tool around athletes where is a mandate that not only do they have to pay taxes here in the U.S. government, pay your legal fees, pay your agent, but take another 20% and put it away where you cannot touch it. And if you play for 5 or 10 years and you put 20% away, no matter what happens with the rest of your income, that 20% will ensure that you will have a good life for the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you talked a lot at my high school about fundamentals and, you know, how the early fundamentals in sports and, you know, the same way you learn those fundamentals in early elementary school at the Boys and Girls Club all the way through high school and college, they stay the same. And one of my big complaints is we don't teach people those fundamentals when it comes to financial literacy. We don't teach financial literacy in high schools. We're not teaching people the fundamentals of credit cards and debt and credit scores and making these decisions. And I think that's been a big failure on the part of our society. You know, yeah, we're teaching people how to play sports and we're teaching people how to do all these things, but we're not teaching them how to manage money and how to deal with credit and how to deal with interest. And so I really respect what you guys are doing to try to get that message out there. And just that basic training could be huge. You know, just again, put the athletes through some classes, put them through some fundamentals, make them understand where their money is going and how to save it.
Yeah, and it's not only athletes, Robert. If you think about one of the things that is one of my big frustrations is that we don't teach financial literacy in middle school or high school. I think it has to be a mandate.
Absolutely.
One of the most exciting projects that I'm working on is I partnered up with a gentleman by the name of Cedric Bobo, who graduated from Harvard Business School, and we've partnered up with Harvard Business School. And the premise of our program is we have joint ventures with the Boys and Girls Club, so we'll be able to use their facilities. We're going to go into local communities and pick out 15 kids that are coming from very poor zip codes that have come from a very stressful background, but kids that ultimately have potential. And we're going to bring them into a three-day kind of boot camp, a financial boot camp. And we're going to have the head of Harvard Business School, the head of real estate, come down and teach. We're going to have celebrities that are friends of mine in the real estate space that are the best of the best to come out and teach. We're going to fly in a DJ to play music. We're going to fly in a chef to cook for these kids. And we're going to make learning and entrepreneur fun. And one of the things that as an athlete, if you're a young LeBron James or Kobe Bryant, ever since you were 13 years old, you've had mentors and you've had all this protecting web around you, making sure that you stay in the straight and narrow. And no one's doing that for the great kid that's a scientist, potential scientist, or a great kid that can have a, you know, perfect score in math and the SAT. And we're going to create something that if we can teach these young kids everything there is to know about buying a property, right? From buying it, from underwriting it, to appraising it, to then we're going to have pro bono bankers and lawyers and accountants help them put a deal together. Then the 15 kids, we're going to break them up into three groups. And these three groups are going to be taught. And by the time the three-day boot camp is done, they're going to have an opportunity to buy a property in which Cedric and I are buying. And each kid gets a chance to earn up to 20% of those properties.
Wow.
And the proceeds of these properties will end up paying for their college.
That's fantastic.
And the idea is that if we hook them early, if we teach them, we have a chance to let them know that you don't have to just dunk a basketball and hit home runs to be really cool. You can wear a suit and a tie and be an entrepreneur and be really good in business and be just as cool as being this famous baseball player or NBA player.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we're both big believers in real estate and the way that real estate creates long-term wealth. And if you can just kind of share your story, you know, you talked about how the original goal was just to have a, I think you said four or five duplexes, and then that turned into tens of thousands of apartment doors that your groups own. And just kind of walk me through that and kind of what that journey looked like. And I know, you know, we talk a lot about you take the first property, you keep it, you turn that into two properties, you can grow it slowly. Obviously, not all of our listeners have the baseball income you did to augment that, but I believe anyone can take a small portfolio of real estate and build on it. You know what? What are your thoughts there? And just kind of share how you see that happening.
Yeah, so I started my company out of fear, right? I never knew that I would play for so long, 23 years is obviously far, you know, it was more than I ever expected to play. So the first chance I had an opportunity to be a landlord, something I dreamed about when I would see my mother, you know, working two jobs and having such a hard time to pay the rent every month. I ended up buying a duplex, and I needed around a $48,000 down payment.
Wow.
And that was more money than I had, right? And or wanted to spend on a piece of property. So what I ended up doing was I realized I had several watches in my safe. I took two watches. I sold them on the market. I then did a card show and raised a couple more $1,000. And then I ended up, you know, writing up the balance. So I ended up with my $48,000 after kind of hustling for 3 weeks, bought that, realized that, boy, this is a pretty good business. Ended up buying a fourplex. For a fourplex, I bought 16 units. Then I finally made a 60-unit purchase. And, you know, cut to today, we manage around 15,000 apartment units in 14 states, mainly in the Southeast United States. And it's been an incredible business. We have a great team, and we continue to grow and look for growth every day. But the point of that story is not the 15,000 apartment units, is starting really, really small.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I have 696 home runs today, I started with one home run. And I never thought I would, you know, be second to Babe Ruth, you know, or fourth only to Babe Ruth. So start small. One day at a time, slow and steady wins the race.
Nice. Did you still have that duplex, that first duplex?
I don't. I could. The only way I could grow was I had to flip
gotcha,
it.
Gotcha.
I doubled my money and then bought the next one. I kept having to flip. You know, there's always a big regret. You always regret when you sell real estate.
Right,
so
yeah.
For those out there, buy, fix, raise rent eventually, slowly, and then refi your money and own them forever.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, Alex, thanks so much for joining me here today. Again, I love what you're doing out there. I'm enjoying watching you make this bigger transition full-time into business. You've been a business guy for a while, but going full-time into business, you've got a lot of exciting stuff going on. Any last words for our listeners?
No, just dream big. You can do it. You know, work on your relationships. Be bold. Send cold emails. Read everything. But your second act can be even better than your first act. And don't let anyone tell you that you just have one act, because I don't believe in that.
Awesome. I don't believe that either. Thanks so much, mm-hmm. Alex.
You're welcome.